with the devil. You better mind your step. You're bound to slip and fall and caterwaul and trip on your regrets. Keep the faith and let yourself be free. If you're gonna dance with the devil, you might as well take the lead. Steps, made it back safe and sound. I made amends with heaven's help to those I knocked around. But tonight I need a two-step in one of my old haunts. No fights, no booze, not gonna pick up where I left off. If you're gonna dance with the devil, better mind your step. You're bound to slip and fall and caterwaul and trip on your regrets. Keep the faith. Take the lead. The boys are on the bandstand, cowboys, girls, and all the crew. I'm on my guard, cause at every turn, temptation's wearing blue. I still don't know any better, so I best get out of here. Too much, too soon, too heavy, somebody better hold my beer. You're gonna dance with the devil. Slip and fall and caterwaul and trip on your regrets. Keep the faith and let yourself be free. If you're gonna dance with the devil, you might as well take the lead. Oh. Been through all the 12 steps, made it back safe and sound. Made amends with heaven's help to those I'm knocked around. But tonight I need a two-step, one of my old ones. No fights, no booze, not gonna pick up where I left off. If you're gonna dance with the devil, you better mind your step. You're bound to slip and fall and caterwaul and trip on your regrets. Keep the faith.
That was Dance with the Devil by Jessica Lynn Whitty. Jessica just happens to be my very special guest this week. My name is Stuart McKee, and this is Musicians FAQ.
You've got to love yourself before you love anybody else.
My guest this week has been referred to as Dusty Springfield with twang and pure country gold. Within just a few years, she has taken top honors at the Washington State level of the Texaco Country Showdown, the nation's largest country music talent search, and released a string of singles. Her amped-up rock and gospel influences result in a fresh contemporary take on country music with female power at the forefront. She's got a great voice and an infectious stage presence. She's an amazingly talented songwriter, and she has an exceptional work ethic. Please welcome to the show, Jessica Lynn Whitty. Joining me on Musicians FAQ this week is Jessica Lynn Whitty. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Stuart. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. It's my pleasure to have you on the show. I'm kind of excited to learn a little bit more about you. I was going to say, normally when I'm doing some of these shows, I have some background on the artist and on the guest. In your case, you were kind of a pleasant surprise. It just came across my radar, and we were able to make this interview happen at sort of the last minute. So
you're
out on the West Coast, and then you're 3 hours behind us. So I appreciate we're already into lunchtime, and you're just kind of starting your day.
Exactly.
So I want to go back to the beginning and just kind of get the details. I know I did read that you were originally from Denmark, but why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're born, where you grew up, and what your life was as a child growing up?
Sure. All right. Right from the beginning. I love it. Well, I grew up in Denmark. So my dad's American, my mom is Danish, and I grew up in Denmark with her, but we would visit the States going back and forth in the summers. So I've always known both languages and speak them fluently. And, but I can, you know, I consider myself a Danish native and Danish through and through and until I up and moved over here. But I didn't do that until I was 31. So my entire life, basically before embarking on a country music career, was in Denmark, in Copenhagen. I lived a stint in Barcelona, just living a normal life over there.
Nice. And
so, I mean, I was going to say, I guess my childhood was, I've always been very driven to music. And so I started playing piano when I was six. I started playing guitar when I was 12. And I've always been creating and writing music and singing and just always been drawn to music. So that's been a big part of my childhood, even though nobody else in my family really was driven that way.
Wow. Yeah. That's always an odd one. And I've been finding that lately. I mean, a lot of the stories are that, you know, everybody in the family is playing music or is a very musical household, but so you were the first one kind of really driven to become a musician, a singer, a songwriter.
Yeah.
Did you know right from an early age that this might be something you might want to do for a living?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to the point where I guess the biggest thing that happens when you're the only one pursuing something like that. And then on top of that, I fell in love with country music, which is just not a thing in Denmark. And country music is, it has its own little realm. And it was a realm that I feel like the Danes didn't really understand. So even though I was writing, I can look back at those songs now and think they were great songs, maybe not great. They were good songs, you know, but I didn't get a lot of encouragement because they didn't get it. They didn't get it. So not getting that same feedback or the appropriate feedback from the outside world, you know, insecure little girl, I always wanted to, but I never thought I had what it takes. So,
yeah. Well, and it's interesting. I just saw a movie just this week, Wild Rose, and it was about a girl growing up in Ireland and really being a massive country music fan. Now, in her case, they did actually have a local bar called the Grand Old Opry. She had this dream that she wanted to go to Nashville and everybody thought she's just crazy. But
yeah, well, been there.
Yeah, I mean, there was some appetite for the music. So now, was the country thing right away? Like, and what sort of, which artists grabbed you, and were you hearing it on the radio or were somebody smuggling country records in, or how were you being exposed to it?
More the latter, because there was no radio. They didn't play any of the country music on the radio. It's just a genre that doesn't exist over there. And because of how things are now, it's kind of starting to emerge, which is funny for me because I've been spent a decade pursuing it elsewhere. But I was basically, funny story. I was home from school. I was sick and I was laying in the couch and, you know, just trying to find something that could just distract my mind while I was feeling crappy. And I was like 12 and this was around the time where Faith Hill's Wild One was at number one. And I remember hearing that song and just going, oh my God, she's singing about me. And that just, it really grabbed me. But then also, you know, whatever was big at the time, Garth Brooks, Reba McEntire, John Michael Montgomery, huge fan. So when I heard that, I was like, okay, wow, that completely just shaped up. It opened a whole new world. So when I visited my dad in the summers, he'd drop us off at the mall, like good 90s kids, right? And he would, my sisters would go straight to, you know, the clothes stores, and I would go straight to the record store. And sounds, then, like you said, like bootlegging.
yeah.
Bootlegging records. I was grabbing and buying, spent all my allowance on country music CDs because couldn't get them anywhere. I had to import them at triple the price from my hometown. So it was before the internet. Yes, children, I'm older than the internet. And
aren't we all?
So it was a strange way that it was very roundabout and not, I mean, I don't believe in coincidences. So there's no coincidence that I was introduced to country music in the way that I was. And it was definitely something that was meant to be.
it sounds like fate. Well, and it's kind of cool because, I mean, you know, my last guest I was talking with, I mean, the country music was the music of choice in their house. It wasn't necessarily in my house, although my dad and I both had an affinity for Johnny Cash. When we sort of bought home the first big stereo, that was one of the records that we tried out in the sound room at the showroom at the store. So they let us keep that. And it was Johnny Cash Live at San Quentin, which I just wore it out. But I mean, mostly my parents were into big band and stuff like that. My older brother and sister were into kind of, you know, 60s rock and progressive rock and things like that. So I was kind of the oddball too, getting into the country, and we weren't listening to country music in the household, although we did have country music options here in country bars and things, probably a lot more than you did there.
Oh, I assume so. Yeah.
So now when you came across, like, I mean, so I see Nashville recording artist, but you're living in Tacoma, Washington, which is Tacoma a big country music center?
No, not at all. my dad lives over here. I know, right? My dad lives over here on the West Coast. And so that's where I put my roots down. And I basically spend half my time in Nashville anyway right now. So I'm just traveling back and forth. It really doesn't matter where you travel from. But I spend at least half my time in Nashville. So I guess I could say half and half. That's why I say Nashville recording artist, because that's where I record. That's where my music business is. That's where, you know, my agent is. So so I'm out of Nashville in that sense.
Right.
But yeah, my husband and my dog still live in Tacoma. So I still come back here.
Very good. Very good.
Important.
And when was the first time you actually set foot in Nashville, and were you just awestruck? I mean, was it like, yes, this is my people?
I was, I don't know why. Maybe it was the same reason I didn't go into country music until I was in my 30s anyway. I was kind of intimidated and had kept putting off going to Nashville. And I think had I moved to Nashville first thing I got here, I would have been eaten up and spit out and, you know, probably gone home. Because it's a rough city. It is. I mean, there's, like you said, it's my people, and it definitely is. And the people there are incredibly supportive and encouraging to anybody who are dreamers. And that to me is huge, but it is a rough city. I've heard most of the roughest feedback being really tough criticism from Nashville. So, you know, you gotta have thick skin. The first time I went, I actually was invited to audition for the producers of The Voice. So that's kind of like the behind the scenes audition that they, you know, so you can either stand in line, but they also have scouts that like look for people who are already out there doing it and invite them to come audition. So it was my first audition for The Voice. My first time to Nashville, and I didn't spend more than like 2 days there because it was like in the middle of something and you had to like go get the audition, and I had to be, you know, it was just randomly my husband and I just went. And he's been a great support for me, especially kind of saying, just go, just do it, you know. That kind of encouragement that I can kind of sometimes get in my own way. So that was my first time. I didn't make it past the first, well, that would then be the third round, but I didn't make it past that round for The Voice. But I did get to go to Nashville finally and experience it, and breathtaking, amazing city.
And then, so upon returning to Nashville, how long was it before the next trip back, and did you sort of spend more time there, and that's when you start making the connections? And
yeah then I had started coming probably twice a year.
Okay.
And just primarily to record. And my photographer, who's based out of the Northwest, moved there. And so I go, I'd record and I get my photos taken and then I come back home. And then right before the pandemic, so this is 19, I started going every other month. And right now I'm going just about every month for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I've gotten so many connections and so many friends there that it becomes less and less of an obstacle. You know, I have a place to stay. I have, you know, people I can meet with, and I have much more to do there than I do back here. So it's definitely been, you know, increasing the amount of time that I spend there. Yeah. So.
So you didn't, you're saying you didn't get into country music until in your 30s. So were you touring as kind of a rock or pop or kind of, you know, what kind of stuff were you doing then? Or were you on the road? Have you been on the road sort of for quite a while, or has it just been?
No, I basically was so discouraged in those pivotal years of creating my first music that I stopped playing music for a whole decade.
Oh, okay.
I didn't do anything. I couldn't, sometimes I'd pick up the guitar and or piano or something, and I'd sit and I'd actually write a song, but nobody ever heard those songs, not even my closest friends, because I just didn't feel like it. But increasingly, if you turn your back on your dreams and something that is so, like I said, from the beginning, I knew that's what I wanted. When you have such a clear direction in life and you turn your back on it, you just become increasingly unhappy.
Right.
And I finally, after 10, so I was 28 when I started diving back into music again. And that's when I got back into the rock and the pop and all this stuff. Cause at that point it was just like, okay, first things first, music, where can I get some? Cause I was very, very unhappy. And I thought back to, okay, when is the last time I was happy? And I thought, the first thing that came to mind was singing in my sixth grade choir in school. And I was like, whoa, right? That's a long time to go and become increasingly more unhappy. So I joined a gospel choir in Copenhagen. Funnily enough, that's a thing, but country music isn't. I don't know. It's weird.
Gospel choir sounds pretty cool.
It was really cool. And you know what it did? It gave me a safe place to practice my voice, to practice my technique, learn a lot, because they do a lot of technique stuff in these choirs in Copenhagen, but also to increasingly get more confident and learn that I did actually have something to offer. In the beginning, I didn't want to sing lead. And then after a while, I was encouraged to do so. And it was just a place where I found my people. I found my people. First level of that was in those choirs, because they weren't held back by the crabs in the bucket syndrome that a lot of people are, you know, the way that you're like, don't outshine us, stay down here, you know? And we all, I feel like every culture has a version of that, and Denmark has it really, really bad. But they didn't, and they were encouraging, and they were like, well, get on that stage and go shine your light. You know, nice. And then I started blossoming and feeling happy again, and started thinking about, well, what else could I do? Like what would make me even more happy? So it was actually in pursuit of happiness that I finally made the move and came over here.
It's amazing. Good for you. Yeah. it's really about that. And I'm kind of finding that, and you know, again, talking with my previous guest, his whole big mission has been that, is just, you know, be doing the right thing. That a lot of people, I guess, have been inspired, because he made a big break, quit his full-time job 4 years ago and broke up with a relationship that he was in, and just said, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I was meant to do, and you know, inspiring other people. So it's a pivotal moment.
Here we go. I got a little bit of class.
pray for me. You want my soul to get to heaven, so you pray for me. A sin of my confession, but you pray for me.
That was Hail Mary by Jessica Lynn Whitty from her latest album, Take the Lead.
Now, in those sort of interim years between sort of grade six and when you finally said, I'm going to do this. I mean, what other schooling, like, did you go on to university, college? Were you working?
Oh, yeah. Marketing. And I was in the call center industry for a long time. I tried to kind of climb the corporate ladder. I was the youngest men in management they had at the company I was in. And I'm always been a go-getter. I just need something to go get.
Right.
but that was my, you know, it's one of those things where I am going to do everything than what I know I really want. And like that big one thing, because if I do everything else, then I at least, and if I fail at that, it's fine because at least I didn't fail at that big one thing. And the fear is when you go out there and you actually do your best and you're actually doing that one thing that you really want to be doing and you fail at it, then what? Yeah. That fear drove me a lot. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I figured that's kind of what it was. And it's interesting because, I mean, it's so many people do that. And they talk themselves out of the path that they should be on, or somebody else talks them out of it when they're already having some doubts. So I think it takes some real fortitude to say, you know what? No, this is what I'm going to do. And it's a big risk. So when, so from that point, from making that decision, and then when did you put out your first album?
So, there's a little bit of an interim between joining that gospel choir and starting to evolve into the musician that I am, that I came to be. I actually went to India for a while.
Okay.
And you know, it wasn't really a find myself mission. It was more of a, I have to do something different than this, you know, business development thing that I was doing for the call center industry. It was terrible.
Right.
So I decided, well, I need a career change anyway. And I decided to do my training as a yoga teacher. But in that whole, you can't not discover who you are when you go to India and you immerse yourself in the education like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home with a completely different idea. And 6 months later I moved to the States. So that's cool. You know, 5,000 miles for me and, two suitcases. So it was pretty rough, but it didn't take me long. I immediately just threw myself into music. And so that was 2010, 2011, I put out my first four songs under Spiritual Cowgirl was the, my EP I put out. I have since just put them out as singles and kind of dissolved that thing. But that was my first attempt at making music. And I'm still pretty happy with how that turned out. Nice. Consider all things considered. Yeah.
Well, and I love the title too. Spiritual Cowgirl, sorry,
yeah.
Cowboy Cowgirl.
Cowgirl,
of course. And so now, were you already married at this point, or did you meet your husband over here?
I met my husband over here. So, 2013, I was in a talent show. The radio station sponsored for, it was used to be called the Colgate, it was the Texaco Country Showdown.
Yeah.
And so I was doing the competition. He was the judge.
Well,
for the funny radio station, that's how we met.
Wow. And I was going to ask you about that competition. I had a note there too, so that's kind of interesting in and of itself.
Yeah
And now, was he a big music fan, or was it just one of those things where he was just picked to be a judge for that?
he's a musician himself.
And okay.
At the time, the reason why he got picked to do judge competitions like that, he did the something jam at the Hard Rock Cafe. Like, he was always getting picked for those things because he at the time also had a record label. And so he was considered, you know, one of the biggest industry professionals in this area. Nice. And still is. He dissolved the record label and decided he also decided he wanted to do more music. So he has his own band and we have a band together, and like, we just pursue music together, and it's really, really beautiful. So, but we didn't, it took a little while for us to actually start dating because we were both like, we've just gotten out of terrible relationships ourselves, and we're just not in that space at all. But the universe kind of kept throwing us together. So it's just one of those things. Again, it was like, don't believe in coincidences. It was meant to be.
Yeah.
No, and we're the best support team you could possibly imagine. It's really amazing.
That's beautiful. And you guys write songs together as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we do. Not very often, actually, because he didn't used to like country at all. Okay. Like, at all. And then he kind of looked up and said, God, you have a weird sense of humor by sending me a country musician for a wife. But he said, no, he says now he can appreciate it. And he's my biggest fan, you know. But our processes are so different and our genres are so different that we rarely make songs together. But if you want to find one, we put out during the pandemic called We Can Make It. Is a collaboration between us and a bunch of local artists, including the Wands from Macklemore Camp. So
cool.
Yeah. I'll the guy who sang the thrift shop. Yeah. So that was a fun collaboration. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, do you write mainly on your own, or do you have co-writers that you write with, or is it kind of a combination?
A little bit of everything. Yeah. I have co-writers. I have lots of co-writers now. Every time I'm in Nashville, I can't wait to write with them. But I also love writing with new people, because every time you meet a new person, their style influences yours and you grow and you create something that you otherwise wouldn't have created. So co-writing is awesome. And I love that. But I also still love creating songs on my own. Sometimes there's just something coming out of me and it's personal, it's a diary moment, you know. It's like one of those, I have to write this one on my own. So and on, I think my latest album is about 50-50 of co-writes and solo writes. So
okay. And are you doing a lot of shows at the moment? Is it harder now with COVID and everything that's been going on, or is it, I think it's a little bit more open down in the States than it is up here. I mean, we are open now, but I mean, we have to show proof of vaccine and wear masks still inside and all that kind of stuff. But
oh yeah, no, same. Definitely on the West Coast, it's a lot more closed than when I go to Tennessee. People are a little more lax. So it just kind of depends on it. It just kind of depends on where you're at in the country. But no, this summer was pretty brutal. I got to play shows and you know. But I also got to travel really, really far for them.
Yeah.
So again, you know, financially they didn't make as much sense as they could have otherwise. And so it was pretty brutal. We come out from not having to make any money, not being able to make any money at all, and then into making very little off of what we actually do. So it was that's really behind the scenes, but it's been a brutal year. And I can't wait for like normal to come back. If it ever does.
And I mean, and there's certainly not the money in music songwriting and things like that that there used to be. I mean, it used to be back in the day, I mean, you could have one hit song and you're set for life, and now it's I mean, you're sharing co-writes and you're sharing fees with everybody, and I mean, I don't know who's making the money, but I don't think it's the artist.
Yeah, well, and I don't think it was back then either. Actually, I think the artists now make more off, you know, just relatively off of what they make, but there's just less, there's more money to go around, but there's a lot more people to the pie ever since indie artists have been able to start doing it on their own. But that's also a great thing, right? It actually means that some of the people that are out there doing the work are able to get paid for what they do, and you don't have to be in that top 1% anymore to actually be able to make a living.
Right. So you're producing all your own work, and you own the masters, and you're releasing it yourself through your sort of through your music company. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it's 100%.
Yeah, that's how I've been doing it up until now. Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. I mean,
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, I mean, it seems to be the debate too. And I mean, I think that there was somebody else I was talking with, a record executive, a while back, and you know, they were saying is, I mean, yeah, it's an exciting time because you have complete control. And yeah, there is still money to be made, but it's just it's challenging, but I mean, it can be done. And it's you know, I think it's, you've got to be everything though. I guess the marketing, and you've got the marketing background, which is probably helpful at this point with getting the music out there and getting your name out there a little bit. So that's what,
kind of nice. Yes.
Yeah. So what, so no, well, where
it saved me a little bit on, you know, being able to make my own artwork.
So what's next then for you? I mean, what are you in the midst of now? Are you working on like, is it always writing and recording and kind of you're releasing singles? There's no album or EP sort of on the horizon. Is there any big shows?
I did just put out all my singles that I've been putting out up until now, just got put out this month in an album. So there's a brand new one out. And, but I love releasing singles because it keeps having content. So I keep having content, I keep having things that, you know, I can send to you guys. So it's, but the album just came out, and it's actually, I'm still taking pre-orders for vinyl. So that's like new for me. I'm going to press the vinyl this time.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. But the CD came out on November 5th. So it's brand new. So that's awesome. Perfect. But I do have another project that I just started with an artist called Chris Jones. Okay. So that's kind of what's coming up, and right now we're just booking shows for next year, and it looks to be a little bit better of a year, and I'm excited for that. I'm excited for things to pick up a little bit, and for there to be, for us to kind of be back out there in front of people.
That's awesome. And the album was Take the Lead. Is that the album that you've got out now? Yeah. So yes. I was just sort of looking at that because I caught a glimpse of that earlier. I mean, the artwork is stunning on that. And I'm not sure what car that is, but it certainly looks like the car that I want to drive.
Me too.
Yeah. So I didn't know if you're going to spring on us that, I did some indie racing as well along the way. And
that would have been cool.
That's fantastic.
I don't think anybody wants me to do that and kill somebody.
and that's a full album. Cause I mean, a lot of people are saying now they're doing albums, but I mean, I look and it's really more of kind of somewhere between an EP and an album with 6 or 7 or 8 songs, but you've got like a full album there. Which is fantastic. And what's the current lead single on that?
The current lead single on that is Bold. The last one on Before the Bonus Tracks. I rarely push a ballad, but this is a ballad, and it's one of those power ballads that I wrote it on my own. And it was one of those that just, you know, the diary moment where you can't, I have to write this. It's more therapeutic than anything else. And,
right.
And then I don't care if it turns into anything, but this one definitely turned into something. And it's the first song in over a decade that I wrote on the piano.
Wow.
So cool. It comes out differently that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah.
So Bold. It's one of those power moments where I wrote it during the pandemic, and I realized, you know, I'm not only continuing to do this, and you have to be brave and you have to really stick your neck out and do things that are really uncomfortable, but I'm doing it for me, but I'm also doing it to inspire other people. And that part is in the song to really be a beacon. Nice. Of that inspiration and light. And that's what the song is about, Bold.
We need more of that too.
Right in front of me, and it almost always helps me see I'm not alone, and I'm not sorry for the path I took to get me here, and because I had to face my fears, You see, for all of us, it is the same. And now I realize I only aim to enjoy the ride. I wanna face it head on and eyes open wide. When I bend, I don't break. And when I lose, it don't take. It will take more than this to shake me. It will take more.
Beautiful song. That was Jessica Lynn Whitty, Audacious, Fearless, and Bold, her new single.
And there's, I was listening through, was it Bad Idea? I think that was a duet that you were doing on there. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool. Because
yeah.
I was going through the male voice came on first. I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, no, I've got the right person. I was like rocking away to that song.
That's hard to know. I know.
That's cool. Well, so, I mean, so there's quite a bit of diversity on that album, but it's from what I've heard so far of it. It's certainly cohesive. So that should keep things going for a while. Now, with you're doing a lot of writing, you're doing a lot of co-writing with songs that maybe don't end up with you. Are mm-hmm. songs ending up with other artists? Are you writing with or for other artists as well?
I am, but not with anything to show for it yet.
Okay.
I have a publishing deal, and so I'm continuously writing. Even if I don't end up putting out the song, it could end up in somebody else's hands.
Right.
So there's definitely an opportunity there. So one of the benefits of being a Nashville artist is that if you're also a songwriter, then you end up with two hats. Like, you can put a song out yourself, or you can end up in somebody else's hands, and so that's like a double threat, which is great. It's
right.
Cool. It's more opportunities for success.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's so cool that you're doing vinyl. I'm going to have to look into that one. Cause now I don't know. I just picked up.
Oh, I see you got the Victrola behind you.
Yeah. And I've got the autographed copy of Jax Hollow's vinyl record. I don't know. Jax is a Nashville girl too. So I don't know if you've crossed paths with her along the way, but I interviewed her a few weeks back, and
cool.
She released her album on vinyl as well. So yeah, I'm getting a kick out of that. I put out a CD last year, and I was thinking about doing like just a vinyl 45, but now is it a little bit more expensive for the vinyl? It seems to be, but
it's coming back
a bit. I mean, you're selling it for more. I mean, I was in the record store the other day. Can't believe we still have record stores, but I was walking around the record store the other day in the mall. And it sounds like 30 years ago, but, they had like the first two racks when you walk in are all vinyl records. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But they're like $40 now, not the $4.99 that I used to buy. So.
Nope. And that's because it's a lot of the people who are doing vinyl are doing small press.
Right.
With small press, like the unit price goes up.
Yeah.
It's pretty brutal. But again, the way that I look at it, I think the way that a lot of vinyl buyers look at it is that they want to support the artists. And it's a great way of supporting an artist is by buying something physical from them, you know?
course,
because that money goes straight back to the artist, not everywhere else.
Yeah. Well, and the shirt I'm wearing is a friend of mine as well. I bought her shirt, and I'm actually going out to see her play this weekend.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You're a big supporter. I love it.
Well, you've got to be. I mean, you know, it used to be I was always buying the Rolling Stone shirts and the Led Zeppelin shirts, and now I'm buying everything. I'm not supporting the millionaires anymore. I'm buying everything from the indie artists and going to see the indie shows. And I just find it's a lot more exciting, a lot more energy, and a lot more creativity and things with it.
And it's more of an adventure.
Yeah,
right?
It is, for sure. Because
you don't know what you're like. You go out and you see a show, and you get your face melted off. You're like, what?
Yeah.
How have I never heard of these people? You know?
Yeah.
There's so much talent out there. And if we just all kind of remember that music is something that we can all share, be it from a huge platform or a small one, you know, then it doesn't matter if it's, you know, the millionaire.
Yeah.
I call myself the 10,000-aire. So
yeah, 100%. Are you selling shirts and hats as well?
Yes, I have. I have hats. This is actually my hat. I should come with a warning label. So I figured that would be appropriate today.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Every song that I have come, I try to create like at least a piece of merch or more to go with it. So I have shirts and hats. I have little flasks. Like I have all sorts of stuff.
Ooh, that sounds so, like something I need. What about guitar picks? Guitar picks? You got the? I'm a big fan of guitar picks.
Not for. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. No, I'm gonna write that down because I don't actually have any.
I would imagine they'd be
usually
quite easy to and then you can press those up by the hundreds or the thousands. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But it's funny, we're just at a distillery in a small town not too far from here, and my wife and I were looking at the flasks and going, those are kind of cool. And I reminiscing about a friend of mine who used to always be everywhere with his flask, and my niece just got married, and all the groomsmen and father of the bride and everybody was walking around with their commemorative flasks that day. So I thought, this is cool.
Awesome. That's very cool.
My 12-year-old son's like, can I have one? I'm like, not yet. we'll put some pop or something in there, I guess. But
I know I have these. So I have the flasks say it's a song of mine. It says I still smell like whiskey. And then I have little stickers too and everything. And I put them on my merch table. I put them back a little bit because otherwise the kids come over and take the stickers and they go back to their mom and are like, hey, mom, look, I still smell like whiskey. Yeah, no, it's
not good. not appropriate.
Not at all.
That's awesome. Before we kind of get into the 10 questions, is there anything else upcoming that you want to promote?
Let's see. I have a Christmas song coming out.
Oh, nice.
In December 3rd. It's kind of late to put out a Christmas song, but you know, I had to space it out a little bit. So yeah, December 3rd, it's called I'm Home and it's Christmas time. And it's one of those like songs about family and, you know, feeling like you belong somewhere, but even if it is a crazy place, you belong. Beautiful. And everybody's kind of weird and funky and, but it's home and it's family. So.
Wow.
It's really cool.
That's awesome. I look forward to that. Yeah, no, I don't think it's too late. In fact, I think all Christmas music should not come out until December. I'm just not, it started early this year. I don't know about the music, but I was seeing decorations, like literally the minute Halloween decorations were going away, Christmas is coming. I'm like, no, too early, folks. Come on.
Too early. I agree. At least wait till after Thanksgiving. That's the American rule, right?
Yeah. Well, we've got, and here it used to be wait till after Remembrance Day, but people were going early this year. I mean, we have had snow on the ground. I think there was snow on the ground when I woke up this morning, but hopefully it'll fade. Yeah. Yeah. It's turning cold. And we're not bundled up quite in the winter coats and things yet. I'm still wearing running shoes and a jacket, but I'm resisting it.
Yeah. No, I know it. We haven't had snow here, but it has been pretty cold. It's been below freezing last few nights. So,
yeah. All right. Yep. Well, okay. I'm looking forward to the vinyl. I'm looking forward. I'm going to have to go on your website and check out some of the swag and things that you've got for sale. And we'll promote some of that as well. But before we get to the end of the show, we've got the 10 questions, and this is from the Pivot questionnaire that was made famous by a French interviewer named Bernard Pivot and then made more famous here in North America by James Lipton when he did the questionnaire at the end of the Actors Studio every week. So We'll start off, Jessica.
Is it like a super fast round or comes to mind?
No,
or?
We can take your time. No. In fact, I've found that sometimes this becomes the longest part of the interview because sometimes we sometimes we elaborate and sometimes they're just very quick answers. So there's no rules with this one. It's just whatever you want to say. And if you want to expand on it, you can. And if you don't, you don't have to. So what's your favorite word?
Okay. Right now, my favorite word is audacious. Because I put it in the song and I didn't think I would ever do that.
Wow.
It's in that song Bold.
Okay. Well, there you go. I don't think I've ever heard audacious in a song. So they'll have to give that a second listen. That's great. What is your least favorite word?
Forget. I had a rule. I had a, well, not a rule. We have an agreement, my husband and I, because he would say, don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do that. And I'm very forgetful. So it would kind of trigger me. And I said, hey, can you say, please remember instead? And he was looking at me like, what? Why? Well, 7 years later, it made me much less forgetful. So I prefer the word remember over forget.
That's beautiful. Well, and it's funny, just a simple turn of the phrase and some of those things, the way we say things and the way people hear things can make all the difference to a harmonious relationship. All right. So what turns you on creatively or spiritually, emotionally, any or all three?
Okay. I think any and all three would be confidence and knowing oneself and the interest in growth. So if you're kind of set in your ways and you think I don't have to change anymore, I'm good. Then that's not for me. I love somebody who wants to grow. People who are curious and confident and their own person, a fully formed person.
Awesome. Awesome. What turns you off?
Oh my God. Smacking noises when you eat.
Yes.
It's the worst. Oh yeah. Oh, and I really have I can't handle, the like nails on a chalkboard. Oof. Like those kinds of noises that can really make me
yeah and there's a texture there too. I mean, it's like with a popsicle stick too. I shiver
every yes time. Oh my God, I've never heard anyone say that.
Well, and it's funny, as a kid, and maybe that's what it was. Remember, the doctor used to put the tongue depressor on your tongue and they were always the same material as a popsicle stick. And it was horrific. Yeah. That's
They never did that to me. And I still have that aversion with the popsicle. Even when I take one of those wooden sticks to stir your coffee.
Yeah.
Like just the thought that has been in there can make me kind of, it's that bad.
Yeah. I'd rather do without.
Yeah. Same.
Now I don't know if you curse or not. I unfortunately
all do. The time. All right.
Well, there you go. So what's your favorite curse word?
For helvete. I love cursing in Danish.
I love that too, because that will be a first for this show. Should I ask what that means? I can kind of tell, I think, but
it means to hell. Oh, okay. or hell. The helvete is hell, but it's such a forceful thing to say after you say something and then you'll say that. Yeah. Or hell. The end.
That's beautiful. I'll be listening back to this when I'm editing later to perfect that so I can use that this week. What sound or noise do you love?
Okay, this is gonna be weird. It's my dog has a tendency to, when he's like really happy and like he'll lay in on the couch between me and my husband and he'll do this like big like breathe in and then he'll sigh like really heavily. Favorite noise in the world.
It's funny, our dog will do that sometimes too, and it sounds like a human being when they do that. It's just so bizarre.
So much personality in those little guys, right?
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah. What sound or noise do you hate?
Well, aside from nails on a chalkboard, I'd say it's not a noise specifically, but I have a really, really hard time with sounds. So if there's, it's almost like autism style. If somebody's listening, if there's a radio, something on the like radio, like in the background, and I'm trying to have a conversation, I can get completely flustered. Yeah. Or we have a lot of rehearsals here at the house because we're a lot of musicians. And if the rehearsal gets too loud, I kind of get sonic overload, and I can kind of like, I have to like take myself away from the situation. Yeah. So like I'm a little neurotic with really loud sounds, which is kind of silly considering I'm a musician.
Well, and it's funny. And now, has it always been like that?
It's gotten worse, I guess, as I've gotten older, but yeah. No, it's always been, I've always been sensory overload. Like I've always been very, very sensitive to light and to sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
My wife is, and I've been developing that lately, and I don't know if that's just me being a grumpy, irritable old man, but it's funny because I can remember picking up my dad from work when he was probably in his 50s, which I am now, and I was a teenager, so I could use a car. I'd, you know, have to drop him off and pick him up at work, and the first thing he'd do is just turn down the radio, and not just turn it down a bit, like turn it down to the point where I'm like, you know, and then I just, well, you might as well just turn it off.
Turn it off,
you know, but now I get that. I mean, it's, you know, there's a band up here called Pursuit of Happiness. And there's a line in the song where I can't, it, and it's about becoming an adult and getting older. And he's saying, you know, I can't take all the loud noise. I don't hate, you know, he goes, I sure love to play it, but I can't stand the racket. So that's kind of your situation. I mean, you're in a band, you're making lots of noise, but you can't, you know, take that noise around you. And it's, but it is distracting. I mean, I found that when you're trying to talk or concentrate and, you know, and somebody's, it's like when somebody's talking over you or something, same kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even just trying to talk when I'm at a concert, I'm trying to talk to fans at the merch table afterwards and there's all loud noise going on. That could be really overstimulating for me. Yeah. I have been trying to remedy it though, because when I'm on stage, I have in-ears now, which means everything that I need to hear goes right into my ears and there's not a lot of noise on stage. The only noise on stage is actually the drums. Everything else goes straight into our ears, which makes it one really nice for the sound people to get a nice mix out front because it's easier to deal with than all the noise coming off the stage. And I don't get that sensory overload because it's, I can adjust it just right in my ears. So that has helped me tremendously from not getting like ear fatigue and stuff like that.
Awesome. So other than your own profession, and I know you've had some other professions along the way, is there another profession that you would that you'd like to attempt?
I don't know what kind of profession this would be, but I would love to own horses. That's just like a thing. And I think because when I was a little girl, I dreamt of breeding horses, like being a person who found the right breeds and mixed and raised and sold off. Like that's when I was a little girl, like along with my dreams of also being on stage. Cause when you're that age, you think you can do everything all at once. Right. Sure. So yeah. So I would love to get into the equestrian world, I guess.
That would be awesome. And it's never too late.
It's never too late.
What profession would you not like to do?
So one of the things that I noticed making music videos, for instance, is and so I would have actors come play whatever role of the storyline in the music video, and I remember thinking I would never want to do that everything about that just sounds horrible. But they're kind of like me because they look at me and the other way around and go like, everything about that sounds horrible,
right?
But but we each love our own thing, right?
Yeah.
So like that's like something that sounds glamorous and fun and like, oh, wow, if I could just be an actor, it'd be fun, you know?
Yeah.
Not to me. No, thank you.
Well, that's interesting because, I mean, there are, you know, certainly actors that become musicians and vice versa. I don't know if there's that many that are that good at it. Oddly enough, or maybe it's not odd enough, but I think, you know, the musicians that I've seen make the best transition from music to acting have been the rappers. Or the hip hop artist.
True. Yeah. True.
And that may just be with the style that, you know, that sort of talk kind of rap that they're doing anyways, where it's maybe more of a, in, you know, so yeah, it's,
there are some gems out there though. There are certain people who can do it and there are certain people who never should have. So yeah.
Well, I'm not
going to mention any names.
Yeah. I saw a movie with Mick Jagger last year and he actually was pretty good. But I've seen some of his movies in the past and I'm kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, a person who's actually a really, really good actor, almost as good as she's a singer, is Jennifer Nettles.
Yeah. Just, yeah, I saw her in the Dolly Parton movie.
Exactly. She was fantastic. Goosebump good. Yeah.
Yeah, she really was.
So that's one of the ones that it's like, all right, go for it, girl, because you can apparently do this.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I think Willie Nelson made the transition all right, too. But
I've never seen his work as an actor.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I saw a bunch of his movies when they came around the first time. I'd have to go back. I mean, I was younger then, so I might have just judged them as being okay. But I have to go back and watch them again, you know, and see whether.
Yeah. Yeah, they really were.
yeah, exactly. And lastly, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
This is such a good one. you did it. I guess that would be it.
Yeah.
It's like maybe the confirmation that I understood what I was here to do.
Perfect. There you go. On that note, you did it. It is absolutely a pleasure to meet you finally. And I look forward to keeping in touch and continuing to talk and promote your music. And I will definitely order up some of your merch as well. And I look forward to that.
So. Thanks for supporting. You're a great supporter of music. And it's such a pleasure. What a great interview.
Well, thank you. Thanks. So thank you so much. Jessica Lynn Witte, thank you for joining us on Musicians FAQ this week. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Some people bite their nails and some smoke. Some put whiskey in their coffee before they leave home. They want it, they've gotta have it. Well, we want no one to see a bad.